make a comment on what Brother Aaron shared. You know, in the Bible we have no descriptions of Jesus' appearance when he was a man on earth.
Right.
But at least twice we have descriptions of Jesus in a glorified state. Nobody likes to think about that. Eyes like fire, sword coming out of his mouth. People don't like to think of Jesus like that. But that's the way Jesus is now. That's the Jesus you're going to deal with. So the Jesus in that state is very scary. His one account is in Daniel and one account is in Revelations. When Daniel sees him, he falls on his face. When John sees him, he falls on his face. That's the Jesus you're going to be encountering. Brother Jesse made mention earlier a comment about making New Year's resolutions. He said if it's something you put off till now, it's probably something you didn't think was important and you won't carry through on. This evening I'm going to be talking about a resolution I made some time ago. I didn't wait till the new year to make it. I didn't think I had that much time. I was not actually working on anything to share this evening. Brother Mark said the list is kind of short for people to share, and I thought, well, you know, there is something I could talk about. I could talk about what's been going on in my life. There's always something on the list. There's something on my mind that I'm working on. I don't always think it's worth sharing, but I think it is. The year that Carmel and I got married, we had a garden that was to some extent successful. The next year, the garden didn't do so well. I don't remember, you know, we planted the garden, but I don't remember the third year if we even planted a garden or not. This last season, we again had a garden that was somewhat successful. But I know there were several years in between there. We didn't garden. And I attribute the success of this last garden compared to some of the ones in between directly to the amount of time and effort that was put into weeding it. You see, the second year we were married, the second gardening season, we had a new baby. That took a lot of time. 3 years ago, we tried gardening. We again had a new baby. Again, not a lot of success. 2 years ago, a little better. This last year, actually did fairly well. But this last year, the boys are old enough to help. There's no new baby. There was more time put into the garden. More time put into weeding. And again, the garden did fairly well. Weeds rob the good plants of the sunlight, the nutrients, the moisture that the good plants need to bear fruit. Weeds may be good plants in and of themselves, but it is either the wrong place or the wrong time for them. There's something else we're trying to produce at this time. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus is telling the parable of the sower, and he says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." And in verse 22, he explains that he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unprofitable. I want to talk this evening about the weeds of wasted time. I think, though it's a person's life reflects some of these categories in the parable, there is also, you may at some time not absorb seed because at this time you're hardened to it. At another time you may have be more prepared to receive it. But I think as a general rule, I'm not in the category of the seed that fell by the wayside. I've heard God's word, I've accepted it, and I've begun to grow. The two categories that most concern me is the seed that fell on stony ground or the seed that fell among thorns.
Right.
Those are the two categories I have to worry about. If I can prove I'm not in one of those two categories, it means I'll wind up in the fruitful category. So what are these weeds that choke the spiritual life out? Well, it has been on my mind for quite a while. It was last year, just about this time, Randall Terrence stood here. And he shared with us, and he shared some things with us. He shared some struggles he was having. And he shared that he was having a struggle with his use of Facebook. Being up to late hours of the night on Facebook. And he said it was crowding his prayer time. A year later, Randall's not here. Is there any connection? There's other things, obviously. But I think it probably would be wrong to say there's no connection. You may survive something like that for a while. But you get a few categories like that, a few areas like that. And the weeds will choke the spiritual life right out of you.
That's right.
Other things that in the right time, in the right place, are not wrong. But they're choking your spiritual life.
Good.
I remember also something a Mennonite minister said years ago. He said, "My wealth lies not in the abundance of my possessions, but in the fewness of my wants." So we can see and understand how it works with money. You have a limited amount of money. When you get to a certain point, you have to stop spending. You can't just keep on spending and spending. Sometime you're going to run out of money and then you have to cut back. If you don't have enough, it's, you know, what bills do we cut out? What expenses? We cut back on our lifestyle. But do we also understand that the same rule applies to time? And not only time, but mental capacity. There's only so much that can fit in your mind before it begins to crowd other things out. You're too distracted to pray. Now you may have thought you had time. This is not encroaching on my spare time. But it was filling your mind with other stuff, and you come and it's time to pray, and it's still going through your mind. You need to clear something out. It's become a weed.
Good.
It needs to be pulled. If you continue exceeding your income, you'll go bankrupt. And if you continue to exceed your time limits, the limits on your mental capacity, you'll go spiritually bankrupt.
Amen.
Now, we have to provide for our own. You have to provide a living. Generally, that's not the problem. Generally, the problem doesn't come from the ordinary business of earning a living. It's the extras.
Yeah.
Or, as another minister put it, he said, is it the high cost of living, or is it the cost of living high? You got your sights set too high. If everything is in order, you should, in this land, be able to provide and still have time for God. The main problem comes from things that are okay or good, but are not necessary.
Right.
I don't use Facebook. I don't really know what... I mean, I know what it is from what I've heard other people say of it. I don't have that problem. But there's other problems. There's other weeds I've recognized in my life. And I said, that needs to be pulled. That needs to be limited. You know, grass is good. You like to have grass right at the edge of the garden. But we can't have it coming in. So we need to keep pushing that back. Keep it where it belongs. What about useless information? Now, by useless information, I'm not meaning bad information. It's just information that is not necessary. You know, it is okay to read about how they live in other countries. But what is that time and mental capacity replacing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it replacing idle time or boredness? Or is it replacing time when your mind should be busy on other things? You come to pray and all you can think about is the people over in Africa and the way they live. Well, yeah, you should pray for the people in Africa, but don't get too distracted. What about visiting family? That's good, right? You should do that. Most of my family lives about 2 hours away. A visit to the family is an all-day trip and a late night. You can handle that every once in a while. And we try to do that. It's something good. You should keep up that relationship as much as is profitable for good. But you come home and it's late and you want to pray, and all you can think about is what the family was saying, what was going on there. It can be good. It can broaden your perspective, make you step back and take another look at things. It can also distract you from what's going on. It can distract you from issues going on in your own life. Okay, this has to be limited. It can't be allowed to crowd out your time with God.
Right.
The next morning, I'm usually tired because I didn't get enough sleep the night before. You get up and try and read your Bible. You got to have an alert mind. Okay? Every once in a while, you can do that. You can afford a late night. But you have to be careful. You have to limit that.
Good.
This year, I finally decided to hang up my deer rifle. I've hunted deer almost every year since I was 13. I have a lot of good memories of hunting with my brothers. There'd be three, four, five of us out in the woods. We'd have two ways, and you know, you'd listen. I think he shot something over there. So you call him on the two way. You need any help? It was exciting and it was fun. But I found that it's not profitable. The amount of time it takes me, something else has got to go. So, does that mean hunting is a bad thing and something nobody should do? No. It means at this time, in this situation, for me, it's a weed. Sometime if circumstances are different, that may change. We're not talking about big moral issues, about bad sins. It's a proper management of your time and not
right.
Allowing other things to get in and choke your life out. The internet has made some wonderful options available. Comparing prices, reading reviews on products before you buy them. That in itself can become a problem. You can waste a lot of time looking around for the best value. You know, I find earlier this year, I was looking for a CD player to put in the car because the CD player that was in quit. So you go and you find one and you read the compatibilities and you'll make sure this will work and you read the reviews and okay. And then you look down through and you find, oh, here's another one a little cheaper, and then you have to check that one out and make sure it's got everything you need. And then you go looking for, after a while you have to quit. You have to say, look, that this is enough, that's good enough, it's within the acceptable price range, it does what it wants, buy it. You can waste a lot of time researching. And the internet also makes a lot of useless information available.
Right.
These are some things I've found in my life needed to be weeded over the past few months. When Randall mentioned the problem he was having, I began praying for him. After he left, I became really concerned about this. I said, he had a problem. Now he's not here. Rather than praying for him in relation to that issue, I began looking at myself and saying, what have I got in there that could destroy me? What is there that needs to be weeded or pruned back? What is there that could potentially become a problem? It's not the thing in itself. It's the excess.
Right.
You know, we can often recognize the big bad things, but it's the good things that are taken too far. Other people will probably find other things, other weeds in their life that are crowding their time. It's not the same for everyone. What one person does, another person can't get by with in this realm. It is most difficult to keep that which is good in moderation from becoming excessive. Jesus in this parable, when he's talking about the seed that fell among thorns, he's talking about the cares of this life. Anxious care. Anxious care over things that do need to be taken care of. But the care goes too far. Too much time is spent on seeing to it that things in this life are all taken care of without properly considering, are the things for the next life taken care of? Our time with God must be viewed as a precious plant that must be well kept. Otherwise, that which more naturally grows will choke it out. Hebrews 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Anything, no matter how good, must not be allowed to get in the way and weigh us down. We don't know when the next storm is going to come. We don't know what the next storm is going to be. But if you pull the weeds out, if you protect the precious plant, you can help to ensure that when the storm blows over, you're among the survivors.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Phil.
Would you rather go on it tonight?
I would have to expand it to go Sunday morning. I may be able to do that.
You know what Brother Philip was talking about? It says Those weeds, what do they choke? What does it say? They choke the word. They choke the word. It didn't say they choke you, but they choke the word's effect in your life. I like what he said. If you're not rested enough when you read your Bible, you might as well not read it. If you're not rested enough when you pray, you're not doing any good. So, you have to have time to be rested so you can read your Bible and pray effectively, right? That means you got to go to bed on time. That means you got to cut some things out so you can make sure you're rested. You, first of all, your Bible time, your prayer time, your walk with God, your work for God, then find time for everything else.